day and welcome to the show. It's Friday, folks. I'm Maggie Linton. On this day in 1904, Charles Follis became the first black to play pro football in America. In 1960, Chubby Checker's Twist hit number one on the charts. And for those of you who are in D.C. or coming to D.C., go see Destiny of Desire at Arena Stage. I had a chance to get a preview of it last night with an all-Hispanic cast. It's great music, passion, drama, and lots of comedy, all rolled into one. Destiny of Desire runs through October 18th at Arena Stage, the Krieger Theater. Folks, go check it out. It really is a lot of fun. So let's get rolling. Today's focus is on education. Later this hour, master teacher Caroline Alexander Lewis with her book, Just Back Off and Let Us Teach. But we begin with curriculum strategist and inclusion specialist Phil Macomber. She is president of Make a Difference, Inc. She joins us to talk about the Pact. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Maggie. It's so wonderful to be here.
Well, it's so good to have you on. I just, and all you teachers out there or you educators, if you want to join in, you know, you're certainly welcome to. And one of the things, I have so many friends who are teachers and their frustrations of the last few years of teaching to the test instead of teaching to learn has just driven them crazy.
You know, Maggie, it's so interesting that you say that because just the other day I was teaching a seminar in Montana. I reside in New England, and I was in Montana last week for several days. And, you know, I said, if you were to ask a teacher why they got into the field of education to begin with, I can guarantee you what they would not say is that they would spend their career preparing kids for standardized tests,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, you know, they're now dropping the SAT and ACTs in so many places. It's you wonder why are we still doing to the test? And so many teachers over the years that I've known and also had as teachers were willing to work with students who weren't just falling into the slots.
Mm-hmm.
And were, you know, looking at creativity in different ways and allowed them to be tested those ways.
Yeah, you know, I think that we, with the launch of the Common Core Standards years ago in American education right now, which, you know, in fact started off as this wonderful and noble idea, you know, that all children should not just have this common body of knowledge, but like really more specifically a common skill set. But then things got off on the exit ramp, you know, that there's been a lot of confusion at the core of the Common Core Standards, and mm-hmm. they're quite divisive in American education right now. And, you know, there's two really simplified key problems that I think we need to address, that, you know, teachers are not really feeling supported and equipped to teach these skills in the classroom with, you know, days filled with multiple things to do and really not enough time to do them, right? You know, I spend a significant amount of time in real classrooms, mentoring and coaching real teachers with real kids, modeling strategies related to the framework that I've authored. And, you know, I say, I do what you do. I have 180 seconds to go to the bathroom every day. I get it. You know, so delivering the core in a simplified way is really what we need. And then also we have such wonderful efforts for meaningful inclusion of our students with disabilities and those enrolled in special education in the general classroom, and our classroom teachers are not feeling equipped to reach and teach each of these kids aligned to the Common Core. So we're facing some real struggles here in education.
Well, I have a learning disabled son who's like 40 years old now, and I can already say I acquired him when he was a little older because he's from my husband's first marriage.
Oh.
But he was kind of buried in slow learner classes and, you know, disabled for learning disabled classes, and he's really bright.
Mm-hmm.
And as we enrolled him into a regular high school when he moved in with us after his mom's death, and he excelled. And so often there are many schools now that are offering that chance for kids who do have some positive things. They may still need some slow learner classes or whatever the case may be, or learning disabled classes, but so many of them are really able to attend some of the regular classes.
You know, Maggie, absolutely. You know, I think that there's this longstanding myth in education that you know, students receiving specialized services like your son, you know, need much different teaching strategies than those that can be used in the regular classroom in order to succeed. And that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is that, you know, the successful research-based things that we use in special education, multisensory teaching, project-based learning, brain-based learning about it, reading about it, writing about it, talking about it, can all be delivered in that general education classroom for meaningful inclusion. And I think it's the delivery system of instruction that needs to change and has been having positive change in the classroom. And I'm excited to talk about that today.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the PACT.
Okay.
And what it is, IPACT, and how it can be done. And it's pretty easy and pretty self-explanatory.
It is, yeah. Basically, the PACT is a four-step roadmap for teaching anything. And so what I've done is I've tried to simplify how children learn, and that means simplify how teachers teach so they could reach each student in their classroom regardless of ability. So they could reach students above grade level, at grade level, or below grade level for learners that may have language-based learning disabilities or those with more complex needs like autism or our students with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy. And so the four-step roadmap is aligned to the four vital components of these Common Core standards. And simply put, in my framework, it's based on how the brain works. And the way that the brain works is that we need to teach a real solid understanding of content before we start placing demands on kids to share what they know, meaning we teach before we test. Doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Teaching before you test. What a novel idea.
Right.
Once again, we're talking with curriculum strategist and inclusion specialist Phil Makehomer. She is president of Make a Difference, Inc., and we're talking about the PACT. And so let's continue on with that.
Yeah, so the basic four steps in the PACT framework are learn about it, read about it, write about it, and talk about it. And what is unique to this basic approach, because these are things that teachers have been doing in isolation, so to speak, and maybe in part, like maybe they spend a lot of time on read about, but maybe not so much time on the write about or the learn about, for example. But as educators, it's so important for us to do these things in this sequence or this order. And so now what teachers are doing using the PACT is that regardless of subject or like topic of study, that the teachers methodically walk their students through connecting the dots between learning about a topic, like say it was backyard birds or the solar system, reading about it, and then writing about that topic, and then talking about it in a way that's more formal, like speaking in front of their classmates, being able to share opinions, being able to persuade on a topic. And they're doing this in a way that they're picking consistent teaching activities. So, for example, I gave some science examples of, like, the solar system. You know, a teacher might say, these are different activities I'm going to do for kids to learn about it. We're always going to watch a movie. Then we're doing project-based learning and building a project. And regardless of whether it's really the solar system or magnets and electricity or learning about crayfish or the layers of the earth, they always have those activities for learn about. So it's kind of predictable for the kids. It anchors them. So when they start a new unit, they don't say, wow, I wonder how we're going to be learning about crayfish. They know how they're going to be learning about crayfish. They are going to watch a movie, and they do their project-based learning. But now it's about crayfish instead of the solar system. So this anchoring of activities is really helping kids focus on what they're learning and not really how they're completing the activity, because it becomes automatic to them because they know the rules of the game, so to speak.
You know, when you were talking about showing the movie first and then talking about it and things like that, I thought about the stimulus for that now, where it used to be a teacher just stood in front of you and there may be, you know, the placard, the cards that they held up or something like that. Mm. But now you can use new technology to help with that teaching instead of acting like it never existed.
absolutely. You know, so many mobile technologies are being used in the classroom now, like iPads and tablets, and we have our smart boards, our interactive whiteboards, so to speak. And I think that, you know, with every, I always say there's a PC column, pro and con column. You know, so the pro is like, wow, we've got all of these great, exciting tools that are engaging learners. But then the con is that so many teachers are overwhelmed with the volume of apps in an app in the App Store, right?
Right.
And they're polluting their iPads. And I used to be one of those people that, you know, I would have apps on my iPad that I don't even use. And quite candidly, I really couldn't even figure out what it was supposed to do.
Or how to use them.
Right, exactly.
Not only didn't use, but how to use them.
I know. I mean, Maggie, one time I was in a classroom and the teacher said, you know, Phil, I found this great app and, you know, here it is. And I was like, oh, really? What is the name of it? And I was like, oh, I'm going to get it too. And then I realized I already had it on my iPad. And I was embarrassed by that because of the thousands of things that I had taking up memory. And I think when we're looking at technology, we need to start getting away from the sensationalism of here an app, there an app, everywhere an app, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a system or one house, so to speak, that we go to where we could get all our app activities and they connect through the different brain-based activities we need to do, like learning about it, reading about it, writing about it, and talking about it. And kids could stay in that one house. And that is called an app system, and that's what our contribution to the Apple App Store was with the iPact. When I was first talking with my team, Mark Larson of Marblesoft Company is our app developer, brilliant, and Theo Quinn is our designer who designed all of our templates. When we were first talking about this and I was explaining how I need a child and a teacher to be able to say I could build understanding through launching movies and doing interactive flashcards and building collages and photo albums in the Learn About module. And then just like twitching my nose, I know that we've met in person and we're similar in age and you would know and maybe remember Bewitched.
Mm-hmm, of course, yeah.
I always wanted to twitch my nose. And so what I said to Mark was, as a teacher in the field, I need to be able to twitch my nose and be able to take one activity I create on my iPad, and now I have 20 at least, if not 30 or 40 or 50 different activities in a second because I don't have a lot of time during the school day.
Right.
And that's what he delivered for us, is that teachers are now streamlining their lesson planning time using the iPact and the PACT so that kids with disabilities and also those above grade level can all be doing the same activity, but it's at their own developmental level. And so they're in the classroom, and all means all, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's able to do it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still think one of the real keys, though, is what you start out first with, which is learn about.
Mm-hmm.
And however it may be done, even during that learning process, there's going to be some discussion. And then you say read about, write about, and then talk about. But even throughout all of those processes, you are talking some about it, a little bit of clarification. Teacher giving a few more, a little bit more information. It may have shown a film, that kind of thing. It's that constant reinforcement of what you started out with, and it's all about learning.
And Maggie, you're spot on with that. You know, in the seminars that I teach on the PACT, I say you are talking throughout all of the modules. Talking is a mode of being able to learn, you know, and so I say this kind of, you know, to be humorous in the trainings, to say, you know, and learn about, read about, and write about. It's not like children are sitting with duct tape over their mouth. Of course they're talking and they're interacting with each other, but the cherry on the sundae of the talk about module is then being able to get up in front of your peers and be able to share what you know. Because you feel solid about it. You know, I was in a third grade classroom and we were teaching oral presentation skills to the children. And I said, you know, an oral presentation is a contribution. And let's define a contribution. And I actually said to the kids, let's do a learn about tip. What does a contribution mean? And little Lucy, shy, very shy. We always had to teach Lucy to speak loud and proud because she had so much knowledge, but she didn't have volume or self-confidence to share. And so little Lucy raises her hand and she says, Phil, could I stand up? And I said, of course you can. Now, this was not very typical for Lucy. And so she stood up and she put her little hands on her chest and she said, a contribution is not keeping something to yourself. A contribution is like being on the Red Sox team, because I live in New England. And she said, and she did a pitch out to the class, and she goes, a contribution is throwing it out to the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at her, and, you know, I had tears in my eyes saying, she's got it. She's got it. She feels strong. So we all put our muscles up and said, how do we feel about the solar system? And they all yelled out, strong. And then all of the kids presented on their individual planets that they learned about, read about, and wrote about, and they nailed it. It was a grand slam, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. Folks, once again, we're talking with a curriculum strategist and inclusion specialist, Phil Makehomer. She is president of Make a Difference, Inc., and we're talking about her, she calls it the cure for the Common Core, but even more so, it's IPACT and how children learn. Let's talk about also retaining teachers, because so many of them are turning away because of the frustrations they have. And what can be done? You know, when I think about the systems that presidents and others have tried pushing in, there's been the backlash of you're taking our joy away from us, the way we teach, the way we want our students to learn.
Yeah, and you know, I think an essential question is how do we really educate the educators?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and how? What are the tools that we're giving them? Because, you know, I think that many of us can agree that most people want to succeed, but we need to give them the tools in order to succeed. Right, Maggie?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the current time, you know, 50% of the teachers in the first 5 years leave the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that we give them an incentive to stay, because that they're really participating in the learning of their students. And so, you know, participating in building listening skills and writing skills and presentation skills, but more so collaboration with other teachers so they don't feel they're an island. And so I always say you have to know what the other people in the building are doing, but how could you possibly do that when you don't even get a lunch break or get out of your classroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to open up those lines of communication. You know, I was presenting at a large educational conference in New England called the Tools for Schools Conference, and this woman had come up to me. She was an educator, and she had tears in her eyes, and this was at the 10 a.m. break, so this started at 8:30. And she was holding and clutching this letter, and she said to me, you know, I intended to hand this letter of resignation into my administrator at the end of the week, and that was the next day because this was on a Thursday. And she said, because she was so burnt out from the dysfunction in education, and then she said that she'd really given up hope. And being just for an hour and a half, hearing about the simplicity of this delivery system, of how she could gain control back in her classroom and feel good about what she was doing, she ripped up her letter right in front of me, Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an emotional moment for me. It, you know, I always say, like, those are defining moments in your project, right? Like something you're never going to forget. And I never forgot that she showed up the next day and she was going to stay in the field because she felt that she could do it again. It just gave her belief again.
Right. You know, the other thing that I see so many teachers starting out, and really even in that first year, they could still use being the extra teacher in a classroom just to learn a little bit more, because that 1 year or a couple of semesters that they may have of trying to learn how to really teach may not have been spent with the best teacher, may not have been reinforced the right way.
Right.
And so as they even go out into the classrooms that first time, going in as a supporting teacher rather than as a lead teacher also might be able to help them maintain that assurance that they have and build confidence for really being a great teacher.
Yeah, I think that mentoring programs for our educators are extremely important. And, you know, oftentimes you'll be, you said that you have a lot of friends that are teachers.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that you hear that, oh, okay, this year, this is the initiative or flavor of the month, so to speak. And now we're doing this reading program, and it's appropriate for kindergarten, first and second grade. But then in third grade, then you have to go and learn something all new because we have a different program, meaning there's an expiration date on these
yeah.
things, right?
Yes.
And oftentimes, like you said, like a new teacher, they might be placed as a fourth grade teacher, but then just due to either budget cuts or, you know, a school closing and other teachers are coming in, they get shifted around to a different grade level. And then they kind of feel like, whoa, I've never taught fifth grade before, or I never dealt with kindergarten. So they either go forward in the timeline or backward. And then they have to relearn their delivery system of how they're going to teach. Whereas if they use something that doesn't have an expiration date, that could be for preschool all the way through graduation, like the PACT framework that we're talking about, there isn't an expiration date on that because it can work with kids of any age or ability at any grade. And so the teachers are feeling like if I get placed in a different grade, it's not rocking their world, so to speak. They feel like they're still starting off the year strong.
That's
true. That makes sense.
Yes, total sense. And I was going to say the PACT actually works all the way from the grade school, kindergarten, all the way through college. It's a system that does work.
It's true. It is a system that links all the way through. And you know, I think also we also need to look even beyond the education that we are supporting, because, you know, I also think that we need to look at the workplace. You know, the way that the workplace and education affects more people than those in the teaching profession is that the effectiveness of these teachers impacts our kids in the world, right? Which is the concern of everybody who's, you know, a parent, a guardian, or who has children who are close to them and that they care about. So, you know, we're preparing our kids for our future, and you could use the learn about it, read about it, write about it, talk about it system of the PACT for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, for example, you know, I have administrators that are coming to me and saying they're running their staff meetings through this process.
I can understand why.
Can you see why?
Yeah. Stop. Quit wasting a lot of time is what it amounts to. Yeah. More than anything, you know.
We need to use our time differently,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
yes. And that's also within the learning and keeping it stimulated, too. That's
mm-hmm.
also very important.
It is very important.
All right. So as you go around, you do the teaching with the students and the teachers, it's one of those that you say, no matter where you are, from learning disabled, special education, all the way up to the Brainiacs, it's a system that works.
It is a system that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, our, you know, we have 18 research sites across North America, and we just closed on a 2-year research study on the PACT. And I'm excited to just tell you simplistically, you know, we found two things, regardless of location, whether it was public school, charter school, vocational, preschool, Montessori, that children were learning faster and retaining more, and their instruction time was decreasing the more consistent they were using the learn about, read about, write about, talk about framework, and that teacher prep time drastically decreased. And those are two big ones.
Yeah.
Those are significant results. And so I look forward to doing more research in the field as well. And it's been an exciting effort to see teachers loving to teach again.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, there you have it. And we didn't even get to some of the other stuff. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Listen, good talking with you. And I hope some folks out there have learned something, because it's kind of almost like a no-fail system. And you want the students to learn and have a good time while they're doing it.
Yeah.
And this is so much more inclusive.
It is inclusive, Maggie. Yeah, it's being able to be in the classroom and have a purpose for being in the classroom, right?
Yeah, very true. Very true. Well, listen, folks, it is Curriculum Strategist and Inclusion Specialist Phil Makehomer, president of Make a Difference, Inc. For more on her work, visit AboutThePact.com. And that's PACT.com, AboutThePact.com. Guess what? Same on Facebook and Twitter, About The Pact. Thanks, Phil. Continued success.
Thank you, Maggie.
When we return, we're going to be talking to a master teacher. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more conversation about today's hottest topics right after this short break. This is the Maggie Linton Show on SiriusXM Urban View.
Have you heard about Dish's 35th anniversary special offer? It's a 2-year TV price lock. With Dish, get 190 channels and the award-winning HD DVR for just $49.99 every month for 2 years. You know those hidden monthly fees others charge? With Dish's 2-year TV price lock, there are none. Get the 2-year price lock from Dish and pay one price, $49.99 a month for 2 years with no hidden monthly fees. That means no local channels fee, no regional sports fee, no HD programming fee, no DVR fee, and no First TV monthly fee. Lock in your price for just $49.99 per month. Call 1-800-CALL-DISH today so you can sit back, relax, and watch TV, not your bill. Dish is how you save. Dish is how you price lock. Call 1-800-CALL-DISH today. Requires credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-bill auto pay. Price lock does not include taxes or surcharges. Offers end October 30th, 2015. Other restrictions apply. For full details, call 1-800-CALL-DISH today.